At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I'm so glad that you are here today and you decided to share some time with me on keeping it real on purpose. Now, today's question comes from Janice H. She said, I'm feeling really stuck, and I keep thinking about my family's lineage and their history, and I can't help but to think that the story will continue in me. How do I get unstuck? So that's today's question. Thank you, Janice. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to subscribe, if you'd like to share, if you'd like to just donate to my podcast, that would be great. So I can remember to say this before we get started, because this is a great topic. This is something that I also coach women who are professionals how to move on from and how to get the best out of life. And sometimes when you hear a repeated story so many times or you see it so many times in your life, you can't help to think that it's coming to you, right? And we hear bits and pieces from our parents, our mother, if we're women, our father, if we're male, that we're cut from the same cloth and we should be this way or we should be that way. And in doing that, we create the story. Just like there's a story that comes from the Bible, the story that comes from the Quran, the story that comes from the Torah, it's all a collection of stories. Even Aesop created fairy tales with meaningful messages for children. But whenever our families gather together, the stories from the past often come up. And then they're often passed from one person to the next, and they're embellished. Or the worst part is they're never told or they're retold too much. It's just a way of keeping history alive and to remind us of our roots and perhaps even to inspire us for future generations. But what it's not there to do is to convict you to create that same book. It's not there for you to expect that that story is going to be your story. And that's what's usually missing. Out of all those books that I've mentioned and all of our histories and our personal pasts, that's what's missing. the inspiration that you can create your own story. Constantly, we are constantly reminded, I didn't want to say that, of our former stories, you know, thoughts about, you know, what our mother went through, what our grandmother went through, what they died of, what they experienced in their relationships, what, who they loved, how they loved them, how many children they had, how many children lived. But what happens when you constantly rely on those stories and you don't create your own story, we limit ourselves by not allowing us to determine what could be. So maybe it's time for us to take an honest look at what we keep telling ourselves and others about who we are, why we are that way, and what we can do. Of course, it's very natural to want to hold on to those historical stories. Absolutely. You know, and it's part of you. Your past is part of your life. And yes, it sometimes creates triggers and mood swings and frustrations and anger and resentment. But we hold on to some of those things so very tightly. I had someone tell me that forgiveness is not part of releasing the past. I beg to differ because I thought I was doing that and I didn't want to forgive and didn't even want to forgive myself. And I was cold. I was limited in my thought pattern. I was not friendly. I was not compassionate. And I was not kind. And that inhibited my true self from being exhibited, and for me to be able to fly and flourish. So I beg to differ on forgiveness, because if you don't give it, you don't get it. And I've seen it happen in myself, and I see it happening in other people because they don't even trust themselves, and they don't have strength, they don't have self-worth, they don't have self-confidence, and all of that all goes back down and funnels down, back down into forgiveness of yourself for not knowing what you didn't know. Forgiveness of that other person. Not the way that you're thinking, oh, I forgive them of their faults. Or they, no, I forgive them because I want to be let go from this because I know how to separate their actions from them. See, that's what people do not get about forgiveness is, if this were your child, let's say, and he had a drug addiction, would you still love him? Of course you would. So the addiction is not your son, and your son is not the addiction. That's the way it is. So we have to learn to relate that way with forgiveness. And that would help us give it up. But so many acts, why would we give them up? Those things were important and instrumental in my path. And someday will lead me to who I am or who I will be. But if you probe into these tales, you dig into the past, you re-examine former decisions, and you delve into so many relationships, you soon see that you're repeating some of the stories that you were told. Now, doing the self-work, which I often require with my clients and also in my own story way before this, you're going to be provided with so many numerous aha moments. And a lot of times it showed me my shadows. It helped me be better. It helped me understand myself and others, and it gave me the insight necessary to put together the pieces of my puzzle. You see, I'd come to rely on my stories, the past, that I was going to repeat them, and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. I wasn't sure if I was willing to let them go until I found that I could create my own stories. Until things cooled down and I started to respond and take care of myself and work on myself. Yeah, most times, and most certainly, there will be times in your life when the stories are necessary. Perhaps you require them to justify words and actions so that others can see you for who you are. Or maybe they help cope in difficult times, providing a bit of comfort when faced with adversity and uncertainty. But are these the same stories necessary today? I often ask people, can you get rid of things that you don't use anymore, that's not necessary for your road today, what you believed in yesterday, or the day before, or 10 years before, can you get rid of that? And does it really still matter? Could that be hurting more than helping? See, those are some of the questions that really prompted me to do a great deal of thinking and a great deal of work. I had to identify my inner motivations. I know we all have a way of telling a story, a way of creating characters and hypnotic plots, you know, and using our imagination and creating the story, you know, because I write, so I know that is possible. But out of all of this, I created storytelling so that I can inspire and elevate other people. By repeating tales from my past, tales, meaning the good things, there are hard things, then there's good things, then there's things that you learn a lesson. I am expanding my story. Or am I remaining stagnant? Am I weighed down by this heaviness? Or what was, what used to be, and what is no longer relevant? Those are questions that you have to ask. Those are questions you really have to do the work on, Janice H., to get unstuck. I took a lot of work to do for myself to get in deep and to really understand what my motivations were. Am I holding on to something to create a sense of this is all I have, and this is my past, and I have to hold on to that because I know nothing else. I know no other way to feel. And without having just this piece of something from the past, whether it be good or bad, makes me nobody, because you don't want to create a new somebody. Or maybe holding on to that past, good or bad, helps others see you in a different light. And you need someone to see you. But do you want to evoke the image of a victim? Do you want to always be a victim? Perhaps I'm asking the question, what is the purpose for this story? And maybe that, Janice H., will help you figure this out. What is the purpose of holding on to the story or retelling the story or rewriting the story? Am I sharing it to teach, to connect, to inspire? Or could I be clinging on to it for some other reason? Find your motivator. Dig deep for your motivator. When I was telling my story, immediately I knew it was the latter. I knew it was something that I had to dig into. Because if you brought the subject up, I would get irate, indignant, mad, or just shut down. The past served to explain, to justify, but it didn't motivate others. In essence, my story did not uplift anyone. It told my story, but there was no happy ending to it. There was no lessons that I could give to someone that can help them, you know, become more than just a survivor, but a thriver, a mover, a shaker, a changed agent. More than that, it didn't give any of that story. My story was just what it was, a sad story. But if I let go of my stories, then how will others know what I want them to know about me? See, it all goes back to ego. That was the story that I was, those were the things that I brought out in my stories. Will they like me if they don't first hear my story or understand the reason why I am? Will they like me still if I didn't have a story to back me? But is that important? After all, we cannot control what others think about us, where we have been, and why we are the way we are. These are all narratives that really form, or some form, some other people's opinions, which you really don't need to develop your life. It's just like a story clip, you know? Does it shift your attention? Does it change the plot? Is it a little snippet of freedom? Does it expand? What does it do? There is such strength, Janice H., in letting go. After understanding your story better, and even for myself and why I was clinging on to it, I could clearly see my story and any anecdotes that I could tell. I was holding back from using the anecdotes because I wanted to evoke sympathy from somebody else. I wanted to remain the same way. So the story would tell people that, oh, this is why she is, let me accept her, because I was evoking sympathy. But I wanted to evolve to be what I want was meant to be. I had to release this story and other tales and lies that were in my life. The challenge is going to be to recognize the challenges, the lies. You're going to have to challenge those lies. You're going to have to see what it is, dig deep, what keeps us being to remain small, and which does not serve to motivate. Like I said earlier, there are certain times that our stories are both happy and sad, as they can help others grow and remind us of our own progress and transformation. They have to do that. They can't just be, you know, a sad story. And listen, that story does not absolve somebody from their guilt or what they've done. but it does give you a better look at yourself. Does give you an opportunity to grow and transform and create progress. But holding on to it helps you avoid making the necessary changes. Holding on to stories holds us back and creates limiting beliefs. If we find that we're keeping us sheltered or stagnant, it may be necessary to release them. Thank the tales. Thank the stories. Appreciate them for the lessons. Acknowledge how they once served you, but then say goodbye. Yeah, some of them are not going to be gone forever. I know that. They may be nearly shelved for necessary steps to move on in the story or create in the story. And someday you may retell the stories again and again, but it'll be a different way that you retell and tell the stories. You will be detached from the emotions, and it would be like you're telling the story that you're not the main character at the end getting the shaft, you know, but you've created something that the listener can hear and say that and believe that look how she's done, and be able to elevate those words into that lifts other people up, that gives them a lesson, and that it no longer defines you, and subsequently it loses the power to keep us small. I want you to free yourself and have the limitless possibilities by getting rid of things that no longer serve you. It will give you the transformation you need, Janice H., and it will not keep you stuck in the way that you are. You know, I know that sometimes it feels like you're just there. If you need someone to kind of help with that accountability, to help you get unstuck, to talk things through, be a sounding board, life coaching is the way to go. I mean, it gives you the tools to reevaluate where your story is going. It checks where you've been. It helps you look around. It helps you move around. And it helps you work through it outside the novel. So when you're creating a book, you always create a timeline of how things are going to go. But working with a life coach, you can work through it outside the novel. And then you can be able to just write past it. Write what's good. Right, what gets you unstuck. I hope, Janice, that you got an answer or some direction from asking this question. And I hope I answered the best I could. Audience, what do you do when you get stuck in your story? Share something of your tips, something or comments. Share something with me. What do you do to get unstuck, or when you get stuck in that story? Can you add a new tip for me? This is Edna J. White. I hope you got something out of this. This is so inspiring to hear these questions. Remember that I'm always taking questions. You can email me at ednajwhite11@gmail.com, or you can actually comment on my Wounded to Wonderful Facebook page, ask a question, and I'll be able to answer it on this podcast. Thanks again for giving me some time today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.